dancing with my darling to the Tennessee waltz when an old friend I happened to see. I introduced him to my loved one, and while they were dancing, my friend stole my sweetheart from me. I remember the night and the Tennessee waltz. Only you know how much I have lost. Yes, I lost my little darling the night they were playing that beautiful Tennessee waltz.
That was the longest start to a show there's ever been, but I had this great desire tonight to hear the Tennessee waltz, and I was not taking no for an answer.
No one was saying no.
Well, the computer was saying no because it wasn't on the playlist.
Ah, well then.
So I wasn't taking no for an answer. I had to find it on my computer and then hook that baby up. Ah, the sweet sounds. This is the best song ever.
You're actually kicking your feet to the music.
I was going to try to whistle, but I couldn't do it. I need all the joys I can get in my life. Oh, the Tennessee waltz. It's the Brian and Vinny Show, everybody. Whoa. Come on now. It's the Brian and Vinny Show. It's October 21st, 2008, here at figure4online.com. I'll tell you what we're doing here. We're being awesome.
Good.
Oh, what a great show this is going to be, everybody. We've got Raw, which sucked. We've got SmackDown, which I have no memory of whatsoever. And we've got Hogan Celebrity Wrestling. I'm saving the best for last. That was a great show.
I can't argue. That's certainly the best of these three.
That was the best show I may have ever seen in my entire life, in fact.
The night they were playing. That beauty
sucks to be him.
His friend's a dick.
Beautiful song, everybody. The Tennessee Waltz by the Smoky Mountain Boys, which is not, in fact, Blue Moon of Kentucky. They are two different songs.
I remember that evening. We established they are separate.
Yeah. So anyway, we got some songs today as well, including a song that's never been played before. Those of you that are making songs, I haven't added a lot of songs to the drop board of late, as you may have noticed. Maybe not. Some of you have, the complainers among you. Here's what you need to do from now on. I have not been getting on the thread enough on the board, so if you've got what you think is a great song, email it to me. Email me the file, and I will check it out, and if I give it a thumbs up, then we'll play it. And if I don't give it the thumbs up, it'll just disappear to the ether. That's how it's going to work. I'm going to kind of screen the songs from now on. It's got to be quality. And for those of you that want to know what quality is, well, we're going to play one here in a moment.
Tennessee Waltz!
Is quality. It's not. I'm talking about the songs, geek. You know.
You're saying Tennessee Waltz is not a song?
It's not. It's bumper music. Learn the terminology here, jackass.
What am I doing with my life?
I'm talking if you've got like a great song with drops in it, for example. If you're a creator the likes of the Blizzard Beast.
Very talented man.
Oh, you don't even know. So anyway, that's coming up. And of course we'll review the shows. No calls tonight. The Dave show tonight that I did is if there is a God. The final show ever on this old equipment. You might notice the old box is back.
I see that the desktop has changed.
Did you look behind you?
There's another box here?
Yeah.
Is there a new thing in there or an old thing in there?
Take a look.
In the box?
No, just look around the room.
I know what you meant.
Look in the fucking box.
I never know what you mean.
What's in the box? I wish like a boxing glove would just shoot out and punch you in the face.
Or snakes or a pie. I have the invoice
here. I'm not
here.
A comic book geek, but I read that in the old comic books, the Joker and Batman had a gun. And he would pull the trigger and a flag would come out that said bang. And he would cackle. And then he'd pull it again and it would shoot you.
Yes, that's something the Joker would totally
sure.
do.
So I wish my box would do that right now with a boxing glove.
I have an invoice here for a...
You don't need to read how much the cost was.
I will not read the cost, except say that it is obscenely expensive.
Oh, you don't even know. Wait till I get going on my story.
Okay, but the product in here is a JK Innkeeper 1X Digital Hybrid Desktop.
Brand new. Yeah, and now where is it?
Where?
Yeah, where is it right now?
I don't see that on here. It just says sold to...
No, where's the actual box right now?
Behind me on the floor?
That's right.
I see.
It's back in the box and it's being returned.
Oh, okay.
That goddamn thing's defective. For those of you that listen to the Dave Show on Sunday night, yes, that was the worst the audio quality has ever been in the 3 years on this show.
Was it worse than the show we did Thursday night?
Yeah,
really?
Actually.
That's
astounding. Oh, yeah. Not only did it sound bad, but the levels were horrendous. And Dave was very, very, very quiet, and I was very, very, very loud. So that box, that piece of shit behind you, history.
Uh-huh.
Never buy an Innkeeper from JK Audio.
Apparently
at least not.
Not
this one that I'm sending back. So anyway, for those of you that have been following this tale over the course of the last week, and make sure you put that thing back in there, if it's not already, because I need to send that thing back.
Tis.
For those of you who have been following my audio woes for the past week now, a week in which I have had many days in which I have gotten approximately 5 to 6 hours of sleep, that is so no buys. You don't even know. I have bit the bullet, and no more fucking around. I have spent, Vince... The product that I've bought is 3 times what that product costs.
Sweet Jeebus.
Yeah, but I got a discount, so it's not quite as bad. But the point is, I have bought a Telos system, which is a pro audio piece of equipment that is used by Premier Radio Networks. Rush Limbaugh uses a Telos, Art Bell, Dr. Laura Schlesinger. It is the industry...
We were listening to Art Bell, you and I, this weekend, and a commercial for Dr. Laura came on, and I shouted, good God, she's still alive.
She's still around, and she's just as horrible as ever. Every now and then, she's on the radio when I go to the gym in the morning, when I still have it on the AM station. I'm like, God damn. And you can't help but listen. It's a train wreck.
It is, yeah. And it's the same train wreck.
It is the same train wreck.
I'm assuming it's the same train wreck it was when I listened to it in high school.
Now, I realize this is not the most fantastic product? No, this would not be the best selling point. I don't know the word, but that's the word I'm going to use right now.
Asset.
But these are also the collar boxes that are used for Wrestling Observer Live. I realize they've got old ones, but still, the point is, when you call nearly any radio station in the United States, you're going to be going through a Telos box. I have bought a Telos system here. It will allow... It has two hybrids. Two of the top-of-the-line hybrids hooked together, which means, that's right, we will be able to take calls when we have guests on the air. We could theoretically have me, you, and Granny, and take calls for Granny. We will be able to have 2 lines for open lines. You'll be able to call 2 different lines to try and get through instead of just one. We could have callers on the Buddy Wayne show if I wanted to, the Lance Storm show, the Dave show. We could have 2 guests on at the same time that wouldn't be just on 3-way calling. So many things that I can do with this equipment. And this equipment will work. So I have determined that until it arrives tomorrow morning it will be here. Until then, I'm never using this crappy equipment again.
I see.
So, it was a pretty penny, and Vince, as you know, I don't like spending money.
No, it causes you actual pain.
But I know that a lot of people that have signed up for this website are doing so strictly for the audio, and so I feel that I will give you the best audio I can possibly afford to give you, and I will say that after the week of hell that I have been through, I am happy with the purchase decision that I have made.
Wow.
So
I picture when you typed in your credit card number for that purchase, I as mentioned, spending money causes you actual physical pain. When you typed in your credit card number for that, I picture stroke-like symptoms.
No, not for this one, actually.
Your body just, half your body you couldn't move.
No, in fact, I had stroke-like symptoms for that thing over there, and that thing arrived on Wednesday, and you, of course, heard the audio quality on the Thursday show.
Yes, yes.
You did not hear the audio quality on the Wednesday, Friday. You heard it a little bit on your show. But the Saturday night show with Dave as well.
Mm-hmm.
This has been the biggest nightmare of my life. I would have paid $10,000 for this equipment with a smile on my face. I would have taken out a second mortgage on my condo if I had to. That is the bullshit that I've had to put up with. I didn't even care. In fact, I bought just a single Telos hybrid last night, and I was going to have it shipped out Monday morning. I woke up Monday morning, and I called and canceled that order to get a more high-end system.
So after a good night's sleep, you decided to spend more coins.
Yes.
Wow.
I was like, I am not dealing with this shit ever again. And I know people are on the board saying they're going to laugh their asses off when this equipment doesn't work. It will work. It will work.
You just have faith?
There is no ifs, ands, or buts. If you type in JK Audio Innkeeper on the internet, you will see some people that are using it. But if you type in Telos, you will see nearly everybody using it, and everybody has positive things to say about it. This will not fail.
So what you're saying basically is that sometimes you get what you pay for.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Why would I not pay a little bit of money for radio equipment when, like, the number one selling point, at least for sure pre-merger, before the merger, the number one selling point was the radio shows. Why would I not invest in that? Why would I still be using old, cheap, crappy equipment?
Don't know.
This is not Sports Byline. God bless them. This is the Figure Four Empire, and I am investing in the equipment. So, next Brian and Vinny show, we may open up two lines.
So we get to get two guests, two callers, and just have them fight each other.
We can do that, too.
That's bias right there.
We could have Crumbly and somebody else on debating TNA while we sit in the background and cackle.
Yeah.
There are a million different things that could be done on this program. So, anyway, just thought I would let you all know that. And that's the news. Now, since I've been ranting for a while, before we get into Raw, I suggest that we play a song. And this will be it.
Watch this. Dancing to Beat the Dog. She was dancing and I failed. She was dancing and I failed. Fail, fail. She was dancing to Beat the Dog.
She was dancing a lot. Cockerly walks.
Cockerly? Someone's got to turn that into a song.
Fail.
A masterpiece.
That's amazing. Oh, God.
Cockerly. That's how it's done, everybody. That's how you make a song.
Watch this. Dancing to Beat the Dog. She was dancing and I failed. She was dancing and I failed. Fail, fail. She was dancing to Beat the Dog.
She was dancing a lot. Cockerly walks.
Cockerly? Someone's got to turn that into a song.
Fail.
Ah, that brought me great joy.
Wow.
You've met Blizzard Beast.
Yes. He bought me a Corona.
He's got this enormous beard.
Yeah.
He wears like a ski cap. I mean, you see this man and no...
He looks like he's dressed for a blizzard.
No offense, but when you see Blizzard Beast, you don't think musical genius.
No.
But he is!
Or if you do think musical genius, you think speed metal drummer.
He's a genius. And speaking of beards, by the way, I was looking at mine. And I've been growing it for a month. It's not all that impressive.
You do what you can, dude.
I've tried. I'm not quitting till 2009.
Right.
And I still got 2 months and 10 days.
Yes.
So we'll see. We'll see what we can see. But I'm a little disappointed right now. I think the longest I've ever grown a beard may be 2 months. So I'm going to surpass that by at least 1 month.
Now, are you shaving the cheeks? That's 100% natural.
There's a little bit of extra stuff way up, or like right up around here.
The space right under your eyes. Yeah.
Just right under there.
Because even like anywhere above your upper lip, there's hardly anything at all.
I can't grow a mustache.
I don't mean on your mustache. I mean on your cheek, but above up here. Yeah.
This is just my facial hair pattern.
Yeah.
Mexican.
Well, I guess so. It doesn't look scraggly. It looks trimmed.
But it's not.
It looks shaved into that shape. It could be a lot worse.
It could be a lot... Well, it could be a lot better.
Well, that's true.
Joe Rogan's fucking great
Joe Rogan has trumped you.
God, that made me mad. You know, that show, we talked about the Ultimate Fighter show, but that show was a tribute to Evan Tanner in many ways. Joe Rogan had an enormous beard. Chris Lieben had cornrows.
Yes.
I mean, this whole show, many of the guys, I'm sure, had done something as a tribute to Evan Tanner. So that was pretty cool. But, yeah, I'm working on it still. We should talk about some wrestling.
I guess.
Maybe I should open up the phone lines. I may do it a little bit later on. We'll
do,
see what
do
happens.
Do it as a way to say goodbye. Don't you have to announce your opening phones and pray someone's on the site at that time?
I open always up the lines, and there's always people calling. It's only during your show that no one cares.
I see. Okay.
No one cares about the sports report.
That's fine.
Katie Lee and Jillian against Kelly and Candice.
I do want to mention here before we get into this.
Oh, Jesus.
This is quick, and it's burying me, so you'll like it.
Okay.
For the second show in a row, I have forgotten my notebook at home. So, fortunately, I watched the shows. I took notes, but I'm going off memory here.
Well, what's in your hand?
These are notes I have from the Ultimate Fighter show and from Celebrity Wrestling.
Ultimate Fighter?
UFC 89.
Oh, we're not going to talk about that.
Okay.
That's already been handled.
I still have notes.
How do you forget your notebook?
I don't know, and this time it annoys me because I know I had it in my hand at some point. It's like I had it in my hand, and I said, there are my keys, and rather than grab my keys in the other hand, I put the notebook down to grab my keys with the same hand. Something like that happened.
He didn't have an extra hand?
Apparently not. Apparently it was busy.
Maybe your neighbors will find it tomorrow.
That could be it.
Katie Lee and Jillian against Kelly and Candice was a decent match. I've seen worse. And Kelly pinned Jillian with a Famaster.
I just couldn't believe this was the opener on Raw.
Should it have been the main event?
I don't know, but... we'll talk about the opener on SmackDown, but usually you want the opener to be something that grabs people's attention. You want it to be either a really good match or a giant star. And this was the girls.
Jericho did a promo. And by the way, the girls are having a Divas Halloween contest so we can vote for what they wear. So
that's right. They put up a graphic showing here's all the Divas so you can decide who to vote for. And they put up a picture of 16 women.
Yeah.
That's a lot of people. And I put pause and I went through face by face. Can I name them all? And I think I pulled it off, but I'm not sure.
Jericho did a promo talking how he was disrespected. They showed the folks on the screen you can vote for at the pay-per-view as a referee, and Austin's name may have gotten a slightly bigger pop than Michael's, but it was close.
It was very close.
And anyway, out came... and by the way, let me tell you how... Actually, I thought it was great until I really started thinking about it. As Jericho's coming out and I saw the Austin thing up there, I thought, you know what they need to do is on the go-home show... And keep in mind, I hadn't realized this was the go-home show yet.
Yes.
I thought on the go-home show, they should have Charlie Haas come out as Stone Cold Steve Austin and have Jericho beat the shit out of him and have Haas gig, a rare blade job, and, you know, get people to try and vote that way. This was what I was thinking at this moment, and I'll get more into that in a little while.
That's amazing. So, in many levels.
Anyway, they... So Batista came out and said you had to earn your respect, and they babbled back and forth. And finally, Adam Lee came out and said that for the first time ever tonight, both of these men were going to compete against these same three men in a gauntlet match. And then he forgot what he was saying, and then he concluded that it would be something special, and then he left. This man is so horrible at his job.
Yeah.
I called it on night one, and everyone's like, well, let's give it a chance. Maybe it'll be great. Yeah, I hope you're enjoying Mike Adamly as the shitty GM.
No.
Not even comedy shitty. He just sucks at his job.
He just sucks and leaves everyone confused. And he's no longer new at this.
No.
He's been doing it for a while now.
So then, as fate would have it, JBL came out, and his opponent was Stone Cold Steve Austin. Swear to God.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, wow, what a genius I am. Anyway, JBL killed him, and then I got to thinking that this would be like me predicting something that happened in TNA and then happening. Would I really want to say that I'm on the same wavelength as Vince Russo?
No.
Do I really want to take credit for being on the same wavelength as Brian Gewirtz? Not really.
Mm-mm.
So this wasn't quite as impressive as I thought, and I felt foolish afterwards, in fact. But anyway, that was that.
Well, more to the point, it was to build, apparently, to a confrontation between Steve Austin and JBL. Which I don't think understand.
Well, JBL's been facing Haas every week, so I'm hoping that does not lead to that.
I am still astounded. I mentioned earlier the mention of Austin's name didn't get a huge pop. But when the broken glass hits, the sight of what grown men do when they think, oh my God, Steve Austin's coming down this ramp. It's astounding to me.
I'd like to mention one more thing before we go any further here. Normally on Monday nights, we alternate free shows. This is actually the week that the Wrestling Observer Radio should be free. But those of you freeloaders listening to this right now, well, you probably noticed this is the show for free.
I am not Dave.
Yeah, I did the Observer show with Dave tonight, and as most of you are well aware, Elite XC has gone belly up. And we did a big breaking audio, and then we started to talk about it at the beginning of the Dave show, and ended up talking about it for about 22 minutes. And I know that a lot of people signed up today. A shockingly large number of people signed up today. And I did not feel that it would be fair for everybody that signed up for us to give that show away for free. So, the Dave Show is the premium show this week to reward those who signed up for the website. And this shitty show is free. So, for those of you wondering, that's the explanation.
I see.
Then we had Ray against Snitsky. Ray won in 2 minutes. Whatever.
I don't know. Snitsky, they gave him a cut in interview, too, to talk about how we like to listen to people cry and whatever, and then it just beat him.
We had an Entertainment World segment with Cena where they said everybody everybody in Tinseltown is waiting for Cena to return. And they interviewed a bunch of folks, including Kelly Carlson, Ben Stiller, Robert Patrick, Snoop Dogg, all talking about how cool John Cena was. And this was phenomenal. This, when it was over, you watched it and you thought, wow, this guy is like a major mainstream celebrity.
Yes.
He's not.
No.
But they sure made it seem like he was.
Yeah, it was a really great thing. The only thing I don't understand is there is a Playboy playmate they talked to who, for reasons unexplained, had a bucket on her head.
Well.
Maybe she just likes buckets.
Miz and Morrison did a promo and talked about how great they were and how they were better than the Freebirds, Legion of Doom, and DX. And this one surprised me because they were talking about how old and decrepit Shawn and Hunter were.
Yes, they called them Geriatric X and asked, are you 50? Yeah. Which actually made me laugh.
So anyway, then we had Miz and Morrison against Punk and Kofi, and I knew going in it was going to be a bad night for CM Punk. And Whoa. Indeed... Huh?
Why did you say that?
I just saw all those guys in there, and I knew that Miz and Morrison were facing DX in 2 weeks.
Right.
And I knew that if they were facing the main event team in the main event, then they would get the pin over the bigger star.
I see.
I knew this would happen. And indeed it did.
It did. It did.
And Punk actually, it was a bittersweet comeback for CM Punk. He made a great fucking comeback.
Yeah.
I thought this was the best comeback he's made in God knows how long. And then all of a sudden he fell off the ropes. And I thought, sucks to be you.
He fell off the ropes and it was strange because he went to do a springboard clothesline and Morrison dived out of the way, and then Punk kind of slipped off the ropes, and I heard them talking to each other, and I'm somebody loudly said, sorry, dude. I don't know who it was, but yes.
What was interesting about it was he fell off, and everybody knew it was a fuck-up, and it was like they all started getting ready to boo, and then right before they could, he hit a power slam, and they forgot. So he saved it.
Yeah.
So way to go, you two.
He pulled together. He hit Morrison with a GTS, but then Morrison had made a blind tag, and so Miz schoolboyed Punk and pinned him.
Yep. Sucks to be him.
I sat there and thought, just asked myself, what was the point of that title reign? What did it accomplish? Why did it even bother? And there was Punk was very over this evening. He was very popular in this town, with one notable exception, a guy who held up a sign that read, and I quote, CM Punk ruined Raw. And all I could think was, if you really believe in that, what are you doing there?
Well, he's no longer the champ.
But you said it ruined it. No.
Well, maybe it ruined
past
it at the time.
Tense.
Well, think of all the shows you've ruined here. And the next day, the show just goes on.
I ask all the time why people listen to this garbage.
So then we had the Santino deal with... Michael Cole was so fucking dumb on this show. He was phenomenally retarded.
It was in the Austin thing. But yeah, there's nothing worse than Michael Cole laughing.
Oh, that was stupid too. But this was when Santino comes out and he's got gold dust face paint. He's got Roddy Piper's t-shirt, and he's got a guitar and a black honky-tonk man wig. And he comes out in this getup, and Michael Cole says, and as God is my witness, this is a direct quote, perhaps this is an homage to his Cyber Sunday opponents.
Yeah. A clue.
Nothing gets by this dipshit.
He has a theory after this unique outfit Santino's wearing.
So Santino did a promo talking about how Piper was fat, Goldust was gay, and Honky was impersonating a dude that died on the toilet. And out came Hack Hacksaw Jim Duggan to defend the old fuckers.
Old people, yes.
And Hacksaw Jim Duggan was awesome. God damn, he was awesome. And Santino ended up taking off all of his clothes for a fight, gave them to Beth. Beth threw them in the face of young Hacksaw. And then Santino whacked him with a guitar, in the middle of which a string cut his lip open. And so Santino said that whoever got voted in would never forget the name of the champion of the earth.
Yes.
Santino Marella.
Yes.
And he had blood trickling down his chin. You could actually, I thought this ruled.
You could actually see as he was speaking, at certain points, when he opened his mouth, it stretched the cut open more. It was disgusting. It looked like it sucked bad. And he was defiant as he bled everywhere. His lovely companion Beth was concerned, but he showed no weakness to this wound. It was great once Hacksaw came out. The part where Santino was just telling jokes was like the least funny he's ever been, to the point where I assume this could not have been written by him. He must have been given these lines.
Then we had Priceless and Crime Time, which didn't occur. The heels just beat up the baby faces.
I assume this is because the prior segment went long.
Yeah. And then Jericho and Batista came down to the ring, and it was time for the gauntlet. And I know that this is a lame thing to complain about, but I would do the same complaining if TNA did it. In fact, I'd probably bitch a little louder, but if this were real, and you knew that two men were each going to have a three-man gauntlet, why would you start with 12 minutes left on the show?
Try to squeeze six matches into 12 minutes?
Yeah.
I don't know.
So, anyway...
There was nothing good about this, but...
This was an utter failure of a segment. First, Regal came out, and Batista beat him in 30 seconds.
Will say it was 30 great seconds.
Then Jericho immediately pinned him. So then they said, okay, Jericho needs to go first in the next match. And the next gauntlet man was Mark Henry. So they did a bunch of stuff, and Jericho ended up hitting Henry with the belt for the pin.
For the DQ.
Actually, for the DQ. This was another great Cole moment. Jericho hits him with the belt, and Cole starts screaming about how the ref didn't see it. And he's halfway through saying this when clearly somebody screamed at him in his headset, and he just clammed up for about 10 seconds. Because, in fact, the ref did see it. And this was glaringly obvious. So then Batista pounced and gave him a huge-ass spine buster for the pin.
He grabbed Mark Henry and held him up in the air for a few seconds and then slammed him down to earth.
That was cool.
Batista, strong.
And then the last opponent ended up being Kane, where it really fell apart. Kane pinned Jericho with a boot.
They did a Kane Jericho match, and Jericho got the heat, and Kane came back, and Kane hit his top rope clothesline, which I believe he has never been pinned anybody with, maybe Kali at some point, but he hit this clothesline, he made the cover, and the fans chanted, 1, 2, ah, and I thought, my God, they fooled the people into thinking Kane would win with the top rope clothesline, and then 30 seconds later, he pinned him with a boot.
A boot.
Something even lower down the food chain of moves.
So it gets worse. After he pinned this man with a boot...
After he pinned the world champion...
The man who pinned the world champion with a boot was suddenly speared for the pin.
He speared Kane. He pinned him. They played his music. Lillian announced, and I quote, the winner of the gauntlet match, Batista. And they celebrated like this all meant anything in the grand scheme of things. And I guess you'd have to say Dave was he won the gauntlet because he got three wins. Jericho only got one, but... So?
Lame.
It was strange and accomplished nothing.
Let's count who was buried here. Regal.
Yes.
Regal was buried after being pinned in 30 seconds twice. Mark Henry at least got hit with a gimmick. Jericho got pinned by a boot. And then the booter got pinned with a spine buster.
A spear.
Or spear, I'm sorry.
Big difference.
So yeah, and I presume this means that Batista is losing again at the pay-per-view. Yes. What a fucking jobber. So, this show is a go... And by the way, this was a go-home show. Gauntlet was supposed to make us want to see Batista and Jericho.
In 6 days.
No buys.
No, none.
This pay-per-view is going to be comically atrocious.
I was certain when there's three refs and they were kind of taking turns going first, I thought, okay, for the third guy, it's going to be Sean. He's going to lay down so Dave can pin him, and then he'll get a chance to get his hands on Jericho, and they'll plug, you know, you can vote for Sean this Sunday. No. It was Kane.
Wrong. I think it's going to be Blizzard Beast Night on the show. Let's play this song.
Not the worst idea you've ever had.
The Dirty Jap.
Terrible.
The Dirty Jap attack. The Dirty Jap.
Oh my god.
The Dirty Jap attack. The Dirty Jap attack him from behind with some karate move. Dave Melcher.
Terrible.
You racist bastard.
From behind, 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 from behind. The Dirty Jap, Jap, Jap.
It's amazing what people can do. Where did that even come from?
Well, apparently Dave Meltzer was going on one of his usual racist tirades.
Trying to think of, you know, you always hear those and you think, now where would Dave have said that? I'm sure he was,
My guess would be he was quoting somebody.
He was mocking somebody, I'm sure.
Or maybe mocking someone, yes.
I don't know. We'll play another Blizzard Beast classic here in a moment. Let's play one more. I'm not ready.
Right now,
I'm not ready for SmackDown yet. All right. Why doesn't my goddamn cursor work? There we go. This is another classic.
It's Lucha.
Pro wrestling at its finest.
It's Lucha. It's Lucha.
Suck, suck, suck my Lucha. Chinga los técnicos. Chinga los gringos. Chinga los gringos, you know, gustan lucha. Chinga los gringos, you know, gustan lucha.
It's lucha.
Hell of a Spaniard.
It's lucha. It's lucha.
Suck, suck, suck my lucha.
It's lucha.
All right, SmackDown opened up with Big Show cutting a promo on Undertaker and talked about how he was stupid. Plug the match for next week. Last Man Standing, I Quit. A knockout match. Apparently, there's going to be a TNA girl in that match if that's voted in. So then he said he was going to show people an example of all three matches. So first, he beat a young Chris Benoit knockout.
You saw that too, yes.
10 seconds. And then he beat a guy that goes onto the bodybuilding forum and says he's a hard gainer. And then he beat a generic indie guy with sideburns and a ponytail. And that was that. So, anyway, Show then chokeslammed Shawn Michaels through a table. Guy couldn't answer the 10 count, and it sucks to be him. The only note on this is that if they're going to do the knockout finish where they're doing the KOs, at least show the ref some UFC shows and let him see what you have to do to check to see if the guy's actually out. This ref didn't even bother checking. He just called for the bell.
That guy's laying there.
Check!
Sure.
Christ.
I thought this was a really good segment, and that Big Show came out. He explained, he reminded everyone that last time he had actually fought Undertaker, he had left him out cold, literally. And so it was stupid for Undertaker to want to fight him again. He explained that when he attacked Undertaker the first time, he was defending Vicky, whereas when Taker attacked him, it stopped Big Show from winning the world title. So he was in the right. And then they explained what these stips were. They demonstrated what the stips were. There were three great squash matches in this segment. They accomplished exactly what squash matches are supposed to do. And then it ended, and I thought, okay, that was great. Why was it the opener? And I say again, the opener is something you want to grab people's attention with either great action or giant star power. And unless you think Big Show's a giant star...
Well, I don't think that was really a... I think they considered that the 20-minute boring promo.
I see.
That wasn't a match. The actual opener would have been the Colons and the Edge Geeks, which...
It was still a failure.
Well, young Primo makes a hell of a comeback.
Yes, yes,
and,
that's true.
And I wonder if like it's a gimmick or if it's real life that Carlos is in there with... If this is Ian. Probably someone calling for the show. Solve that problem. I just turned to record the volume down and never hear it. Anyway... Ian's been calling like a madman.
Wants to know where Rick Steiner is?
Kevin Nash this time.
I see.
Jesus, dude. So anyway, what I was going to say was, I don't know if it's a gimmick or if it's just the way it is of Carlito being the older brother who just can't keep up with the younger guy.
Well,
that's how it comes off.
What did they say the whole time? I remember 3 years ago, people were saying when Carlito first signed, everyone said they signed the wrong cologne.
Yep.
And... that certainly seems to be the case. There were little bits of here I loved, like they showed a wide shot while they're doing all this show is brought to you by and plugging sponsors, and I was looking at the stage, and boy, the Edge Geeks sure have a really cool light show for their entrance. And I thought, wow, that's kind of a waste on those guys. And they cut to the ring, and Carlito was staring at the stage like, these geeks get that cool show?
Yeah.
And then they had their match, and it was mostly fine. Primo does make a hell of a comeback. That was far and away the highlight. And then it ended, and I thought, that was okay, but that felt just like that felt like the FCW Tag Team Championship match. It was strange to see it on SmackDown.
MVP did a promo, and all I have to mention is that Eve is the worst. My God, she's the worst. She stands there like the entire segment is all about her. It's not your job, baby.
No.
Your job is to interview people and blend into the background. So this was retarded. And then we had Truth and MVP, and Truth, of course, beat him in 2 minutes with an axe kick. So it continues to suck to be MVP.
and he is always careful to mention that his next win will get him a huge bonus. So
double jobber.
Yeah, it's not just that he's losing with something on the line.
He's losing and failing.
Yeah.
Vicky was ranting backstage, and Kung Fu Naki made a...
I cannot believe they did that segment 2 weeks in a row, or that name.
She played the Dave song again.
I guess so.
So she booted him out, and then Maryse walked in and wanted to know why...
Oh, my God, Maryse.
She had to compete in the Divas women's match later, and Vicky said there was a fuzzy dice on a pole match to determine number one contender.
Actually, here's a case...
Michelle's title.
Here's a case where I wish I had my notebook, because I wrote down her exact quote. It was magnificent. It was something close to, what better way than a fuzzy dice on a pole match to determine a top contender for Michelle McCool's Divas Championship? And I thought, I don't know. I can't answer that question.
Even they realize how stupid this is.
Yes.
So, that was that.
Maryse left, and then Kali came in.
Yeah.
And, they were polite to him, and they said, thank you for coming, and she said, I have a very important match for you tonight. And he said, who? And they said, The Undertaker. And Kali was upset, and Sho calmed him down and said, got in his face and said, look, we have asked you a favor, and Vicky's the general manager. You don't want to be making any enemies with her. And so Kali left, and the match was on.
Then we had Kendrick and Zeke coming out. And Kendrick claimed he was sick, so he couldn't wrestle, so Zeke took his place. Big jacked-up guy.
He's huge.
Zeke always looks fantastically nervous and uncomfortable.
That is true.
And he wrestled this match here and is very, very green. Thankfully, they kept it short. He won.
Super
and then,
crazy he beat.
Yep.
Who is huge in a different way.
And then Kendrick gave him the sliced bread number two afterwards, and that was that. Then we had Undertaker and Great Khali, which they've had better matches.
Worse matches.
Khali screwed up a body slam early, made a bunch of covers. I still can't get over Khali making covers. I can probably count on one hand the number of covers that he's made in his career.
He just puts his boot in the guy's chest.
But anyway, Big Show hit the ring for the DQ in like 3 minutes and gave Undertaker the easiest choke slam ever afterwards. And then he went to get a chair, and he threw it to Khali and told Khali to hit him. And Khali slammed down the chair, and then Sho kind of was like, huh, well, this big fucker's mad. I'm not going to mess with him. And Khali got out of the ring, and the moment Khali was out of the ring, that's when Sho hit the ring.
Yes.
That was awesome.
Oh, yes.
That was awesome. So, anyway, then Taker rose from the dead and whacked chair with the, He whacked the Big Show. He clonked him with a chair.
Yes.
And sent him out of the ring. And I am massively excited for the Khali heel turn.
Khali face turn.
Face turn.
Even better.
I'm giving up tonight.
It's not, you're having a breakdown here. Take a second here, because I want to talk about how awesome this all was. The Taker Khali match in and of itself was brief. Taker hit his big flying clothesline, and Khali took literally a giant bump for this. And I thought, Jesus Christ, I had to kill him. And thankfully, that's exactly when Big Show ran down, which made sense. They only wanted Khali to weaken Taker so Sho could attack him. And at this point, Taker was making his comeback. So there's no point in attacking after that. We may as well get him now. So he came down, he laid out Sho, and then he demanded Khali hit Taker with a chair. And he's hanging out with the general manager now. He's a high roller. He's throwing his weight around, throwing his power around. That makes sense. And he held out the chair, and Khali resisted, and Sho was yelling at him, and he yelled in a very loud, exaggerated manner, stupid! And they showed a close-up of this. And that's when Kali got mad, and he slapped the chair out of his hands, and he then said the following words: "I'm not stupid, you stupider." And he walked away. And then, as you noted, it was the greatness, with Big Show looking a little confused and hesitant until Kali left, in which case suddenly he was a brave man, wanted to fight, and then Taker whacked him with a chair. This is all great. A home run of a segment.
And then in a strikeout of a segment, Fuzzy Dice on a pole. Fucking horrible. And so heavily edited that they would switch camera angles and girls would have just vanished.
Just out of the ring, yes. I will say this, though. There was more heat for this match than for the Colognes versus the Edge Geeks, which is theoretically a tag team championship battle.
Maryse beat everyone up and almost won, and then Maria knocked her off the top or something, and then Maria won. And the only good thing about this match was Maria on the top rope jiggling, quite frankly.
Yes, well, just what she's there for.
And then later she did a backstage segment, and you've never seen boobs like this. That's all I remember.
Would you like to describe them more?
They were large and round and heaving and sweaty.
Actually, I don't think that was sweat. I think that was body glitter, because her face was totally dry. She may have tiled off just her face, but...
May have been.
This was
phenomenal television.
Her breasts were the star of this segment for sure.
That's all I could look at. I don't know how any human being could not just be staring at her boobs the entire time. This is not even a sexist statement. No one listening to this right now that saw that segment could have not been staring at her boobs. Mm-hmm. Even homosexuals. It's just impossible.
I've heard...
It was such a work of art. It was such a thing of beauty. It's like staring at a starry night.
Yeah.
You just could not help but stare at these things. Like the pinnacle of God's creation.
Exactly.
Anyway.
Now you know how I feel every day.
Every day?
Boobs are cool.
You regularly see boobs like Maria's every day?
I have to look for them, but yeah.
Jesus.
They're not on network TV.
Anyway, Jesse and Festus against Ryan Braddock and Kenny Dykstra. Quick. Lame. Then we had I'm going to get into Kazarni. We had Triple H coming
out. He was on the show twice. I do want to mention that.
For the main event, Jeff Hardy against Kozlov. Kozlov looked all right here. Jeff did a very good job with him, and Triple H did commentary for this match, and said he wanted Kozlov at the pay-per-view. They flat-out said it.
Mm-hmm.
And the finish was Jeff hitting him with a kick, but then Kozlov bounced off the ropes and hit the battering ram headbutt for the pin. And, I mean, it was a great finish to build up Kozlov as this big killer, beating Jeff Hardy clean. Unfortunately, the headbutt just looked so lame that when Jeff laid down for it, I thought, ugh. That was not good, but what can you do?
Well, these things happen. I'm sure this was really good for what it was, and I'm sure a lot of it had to do with the fact that it was Jeff Hardy, and that would not have been the same with, for example, Super Crazy, but I am starting to love Vladimir Kozlov. His facials are tremendous. His body language is awesome. The way he would lock a submission hold on Jeff and then turn to Triple H and stare at him, cool. Really, really cool.
He is improving dramatically.
Yes, and he is a big athletic guy who does a cool suplexes and throws. There was a point in here, Taz was mostly in the background, letting Triple H plug the pay-per-view and JR call the match. And then Kozlov busted out a judo throw where he grabbed Hardy's arm and whipped him over. And you can hear Taz almost in the background, ooh, nice, marking out for this cool throw. And Hunter's line, specifically, he said, he pointed out, and it was actually a great thing. He said, if it were up to me, from a business point of view, Jeff Hardy has had his chance, let's move on, I want Kozlov. So the way it came across was, it was such a subtle heel thing, which I'm sure is what they're going for. Is they want the Hunter versus Hardy feud to continue, but they also want Hunter to be the bad guy. So that was cool.
Let's play a song here. Then we'll get into
real entertainment.
Yeah.
The robots are coming.
The internet is not the big truck. It's a series of tubes.
You will all stand in line, my daughter's blood.
You will buy DVDs and give our old pleasure to games and posty.
Without your optics.
Let's do something wacky.
Let's do something wacky.
In the case of a nuclear attack, the protection
preservation of records is essential.
What is going on?
This is awesome.
It's a bunch of dorks.
That was very odd.
Yes.
The ROH robots are coming.
A lot of work went into that, I will say this.
Well, this one can fail. A beach whale. Just kicking its flippers. Flipping its flop. Flipping its flop. Jesus Christ, what's happening here? He's an old fat guy who's abysmally clumsy. Old fat guy. Shaking your head like D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown. Dongs. Jack Evans thinks you're a faggot. The announcement, Vince, is Jack Evans thinks you're a fat ass. F to the A by Buffet.
No buys.
Fabulous. All right. Oh, there's another one from Blizzard Beast. One more.
I want to get funky with. Cause they've been hearing the rap of Superstar Billy Graham. Cause they've been hearing the rap of Captain Lou Albano. Cause they've been hearing the rap of the great Freddie Blassie. Cause they've been hearing the rap of the Grand Wizard. But now the Rap Master, Dusty Rhodes, 270 pounds of sweet, sweet soul, who come out of the ditch at 8 years old and became so sweet. I used to play ball when my aunt would come walking up, got by right on the lake, Jack. On the street.
Dusty Rhodes have to tell you about Boogie Fever. $100,000. I need the money, you understand?
I just figured out why nobody could hear drops when they call in. Not that I've ever played them, but I did some tests and people couldn't hear playback. I didn't know why, and now I know. So we won't have that problem in the future.
You mean like right this second now?
Yeah, it's right this second.
Huh.
All right, what'd you think of Hogan's Celebrity Wrestling?
This was awesome. Say, great show.
Oh, what can be said? The celebrities were Dennis Rodman, Trishelle from The Real World, Screech, Danny Bonaducci, who said he was famous for being Danny Bonaducci, Nikki Ziering, the playmate who fucked everybody and has never watched wrestling, she claimed. I actually have talked to people who have wrestling radio shows that she used to call into, so.
Really?
Somebody's full of shit here. Then we had Butterbean, Tiffany. Butterbean, in fact, has been on our show, everybody. You can find it in the archives. One of the worst shows we've ever done. And it's not his fault. Some audio problems, coincidentally. Then we had Tiffany, the singer from the 80s. Erin Murphy from Bewitched, who is the mother of eight boys.
Six boys.
It says eight.
Where does it say this?
In my notes.
Are you turning into Hogan now? You're believing your own lies?
I'm never wrong. And Todd Bridges from Different Strokes, as well as Frank Stallone. And I know who's eliminated next week, by the way. But I don't know if I should give the spoiler here on the show.
I don't see why you would.
People might get very, very upset if they hear that.
Frankly, I'd be kind of annoyed.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? Shouldn't have told me that. Maybe I'll turn your mic down and say it.
What would that accomplish?
So you couldn't... I don't know.
I will admit that the eliminations are a small part of the fun. The fun part is watching Brutus Beefcake and Brian Knobs teach celebrities how to wrestle.
Three moves they have to learn every week. This week's three moves were the kick to the abdomen, the forearm splash, and the forearm smash, and the clothesline. That's what they had to learn. They had a graphic created on a Commodore 64.
I remember, yes. That was awesome. They explained what these moves were, and then to demonstrate them, they had Beefcake and Knobs execute them. And each move, like in the middle of the move, the screen would freeze, and there would be this awesome display of graphics showing clothesline or kick to gut.
They also had Hogan displaying the championship title for Hogan Celebrity Wrestling, which is in fact created by Wildcat Belts, which is a sponsor of our website, everybody. Make sure you check them out. But he held it up, and they had a wacky graphic of like sparkles and starlight coming off it. And meanwhile, there was the sound of thunder, lightning, rushing waters, and the music of God. And that was a great moment. This championship belt means the world.
Yes. And right after that, they cut to an exterior shot of the building where we saw a flagpole, which had two flags. One was the U.S. flag, the Stars and Stripes. Below that, the Celebrity Championship Wrestling flag.
This is the best show I've ever seen.
Yeah, a flag.
So, now the deal was each team had to choreograph a match and then show it to Hogan and company. The judges were Hogan, Eric Bischoff, and Jimmy Hart. What a fucking panel that is. And the winning team was spared, and one person from the losing team would get axed. And they had Bubba the Love Sponge on commentary, who...
He called a fake wrestling match. He would talk about how people were selling badly or screwing up moves or had bad timing and stuff.
I've seen a lot of videos too. You know, TV shows and reality wrestling shows. And I've never seen anything exposed to business like this program.
Never.
Never. And Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
Hulk Hogan is exposing the business to this degree.
Well, it's kind of funny. There was a key point here. I shouldn't say a key point. It was a very small point, but it made my ears perk up. Hulk was talking to the various celebrities, what they had to offer. He explained to Danny Bonaduce, "You missed your calling. You should have been into this business all along." But he said to Butterbean that times have changed. A big man can't make a living just doing the Hulk Hogan gimmick now. You need to be able to have great matches. I just thought, wow. He admitted, not only did he admit that he didn't really have great matches, but he couldn't be Hulk Hogan and be as successful today.
Yeah. So the two matches, the first one was Tiffany and Danny against Trishelle and Butterbean with Todd Bridges as their manager. And Tiffany, my God, horrible.
I'm better than Tiffany. I'll have to declare that right now.
Bonaduce there's potential for Bonaduce. Not very good mechanically yet. You should have seen him hitting the ropes. It was horrendous.
Well, Danny Bonaduce's winning, I think. I don't think there's any question.
Well, I don't know about that one.
He has a great personality. He is literally insane. He is actually in shape. He's not necessarily a great athlete. There's certainly better athletes in this crew, but I predict that he will win that sparkling gold belt.
I predict Rodman.
Not a bad guess either.
But anyway, the point was Trishelle was... she looks great.
Trishelle's really hot.
My God.
That is a huge asset.
And speaking of assets... anyway. And then Butterbean is just a big fat guy. So anyway, it came down to... let's see what happened. Butterbean... Bonaduce got the hot tag, and then Butterbean pinned him with the World's Strongest Slam and the mount.
He mounted him and got the pin.
Yeah.
He is a pro fighter.
Bad match.
Well, of course it was. Of course it was.
They're all bad.
But they're bad in a glorious way. And the funniest part to me, I don't know if I should say the funniest part. Tiffany would be the funniest part. But
she was too bad to even be funny.
Danny Bonaduce is a natural heel who was getting the hot tag and playing the babyface hero.
Yeah.
What
Tiffany.
Can you do?
Tiffany. Hideous.
Well, she's... Yeah. I don't know what you would expect. Did you really expect Tiffany to be great?
No, but I didn't expect any human to possibly be that bad at wrestling.
I see.
I've been to a lot of indie shows. She set new standards.
Yeah, she's worse than Wildcard.
Frank Stallone and Screech, with Nikki as their manager and Fluffer, faced Aaron and Dennis Rodman. Now, Rodman's actually had a lot of training. Screech has as well, and Bonaduce had a celebrity match with the fucking geek from the Partridge Family, whatever it was, years back. But anyway... Rodman is the best worker on the show, but half of it's because just he beats the shit out of people, stiffs them. Apparently Hogan has a blow up on him at some point, which should be awesome. But anyway, Screech is all right. Worked a lot of it. Eric or Aaron or whoever is Stallone did absolutely nothing. Rodman actually made a pretty damn great comeback and then
very
pinned poor Screech
yes.
with a clothesline. His comeback was the best thing on the show.
Yes.
Rodman's comeback. And then it was time to eliminate someone. Team Nasty was spared. And so that meant someone from...
That was the Rodman Screech match with all those dudes.
Team Beefcake was in trouble. So I figured it has to be Tiffany or Todd Bridges because he did absolutely nothing outside. But he did do one flying body tackle or something after the match was over. So I figured it was one of those two. And first we had Bischoff burying Trishel, but then he spared her.
He noted she was hot.
And then, and if he'd eliminated her, I would have rewritten Death of WCW. I would have had new insight into the death of this company. So then Jimmy Hart spared Danny. And then Hogan, of course, spared the big guy, Butterbean. So it came down to Todd or Tiffany, which I'd expected. And Hogan sort of put them both over and then screamed, "Tiffany, you're a jabroni! Get out of my ring!"
Awesome.
Best ending to a show I ever saw.
You're a jabroni. Get out of my ring.
Fabulous program.
Yes.
This program was fabulous.
This is all. This
I can't wait to watch this show every week.
This is going
to
be great.
You poor bastards that can't get this show. I don't want to mention any names, but... And he's not a bastard because he beat my ass, but Lance Storm can't get this show.
Aww.
Sucks to be him.
Aww,
this show's awesome.
This is a great show.
Hate to make you feel bad, you missed out.
I'm sure someday you'll be able to buy the DVD. It'll be awesome. There are two other points I want to mention here real quickly. Bubba the Love Sponge referred to Butterbean's bohemian strength at one point.
What are these dipshits calling?
I don't know. And then the other part I loved, there was a bit here where Beefcake had his teammates... He had his team in the ring, and he was explaining tag team psychology and how to let the babyface in peril dramatically climb for the hot tag. Don't cut them off too quickly, he said. Let them get close, then cut them off. And all I could think was, I hope the Briscoes are watching. I hope all of Tulalip Championship Wrestling is watching. I hope most of TNA is watching. This is a good show. This is an educational program. Brutus Beefcake knows tag team wrestling, damn it.
Well, it was a fun time. I got to give it a thumbs up. And next week, of course, Saturday night, CMT, 8 o'clock. It's going to go head-to-head with the UFC, so you might want to get the 2 o'clock version because it plays at 2 o'clock first. So check that out. But a fabulous time was had by all. And that's it for today, everybody. This was the free show, so if you enjoy it, sign up. Get 15 shows a week. Get all the newsletters. Go to the front page. You'll have all the information. All the info is up there. Click on the radio show tab. That's all the stuff you're missing. But we're going to wrap it up today. No shout outs. But I'm going to sing.
I'm sorry, what?
I'm going to sing.
Really?
That's right. That's how we're going to end the show with a song.
Now, I've known you, Brian. I've been hanging out with you almost every day for like 10 years now. You don't sing.
I am tonight.
Wow.
This could become a drop with me playing the role of James Roman. I don't care. Yes. This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't be nothing. Nothing. Without a woman or a girl. How true.
You see, man
made the cars to take us over the road. Yes, he did.
Man made the trains
to carry heavy load.
Man made electric light
to
take us out of the dark.
That is Israelites.
Man made the boat
for the water, like Noah made the ark.
This is a man's world.
But it wouldn't be nothing without a woman. What an offensive show this has been. I blame the creators of these songs, everybody. Don't send me nasty letters. That's it from here. We'll be back tomorrow with brand new equipment. Hopefully taking phone calls, so check the front page of the website for information on how to call in. And we'll talk to you again after a while.
Adios.